Good evening, everybody. I'm going to say two poems, maybe a little story in the middle of it, and then I'm going to show you what I do for a living. So, ever since I came to Ireland about 2 years, 2 years ago, I've been living in Ireland for 2 years today. I moved to Cork 2 years ago today. From leaving Newcastle October the 20th, 2005 to pretty much today, I kept a journal of just my travels and the people I've met. And until early March 2007, I never really knew how to write creatively. I was walking down Paul Street, Patrick Street one day, and the woman gave us a flyer for Cork lifelong learning courses. And one of the courses was a creative writing course, a course that I go to every Monday. With a guy called Adam Wyatt, an English guy. And so I went to the course and I started learning, and I was struggling, and I still struggling. But it gave me a way to write, and a better way to, what they're calling writing is something where you learn how to show and not tell. So the first time that I really felt that I was learning how to show and not tell was a poem that I wrote one night when I was alone and sitting in a pub in Cork. And this is this one. Bird Avenue. Peach chandeliers, retro artwork on the wall, the dark, creamy temptation. Checkered shirted man swigs the last of his tonic. Harp seen but not heard. The curtain on the wall, the horizon effect, rouge and Miles Davis, a kind of blue. 3,000 fine for one puff. The happy bar staff thrilled to be at work. With hints of Polish estrogen and Italian testosterone, the confident tubby man. Candlelit Smirnoff, the creaminess aboveness, the intoxicating dessertless, and the two honeys from Moldova, maybe. The jazzy blue beat, I sit here, tamed, present, alert, awaiting the next moment, or maybe it's already here. A quick visit to the solid white statue shaped like bucket. I noticed the dark beams with more history than I, blanketed with meandering cobwebs of green. Above the dark blue of night, no twinkle did I notice. And the secure goddess of presence and confidence with humour and beingness. I wonder, have I the godlike qualities I think she requires? As I write and share my passion, the secure goddess has vanished, then she reappears, and Miles Davis watching everything in a humble, satisfying way. I'm writing a book, it's kind of about what I've been doing with myself, and it's called Tales of the Balloon Man. It's about, following your heart, doing what you want to do in your life, and making balloons. So, through my travels, I've met certain people, and I've met beautiful people, and I've had an amazing experience through that. And Galway is the place that I love to go. I was in Galway last summer, and I met a girl from Germany, a girl called Christy. And I met her at a storytelling night, and she was a lovely person, just had a really nice energy, and we went for coffee, and we sat chatting for 3 hours. She said that. She took me by the hand, she said, "Aaron, go to this house, ring the doorbell, and ask to read the quotation on the wall, on the staircase." So I did what she said, I went to the doorbell, rang the door, and said, "Can I see the quotation on the wall?" And the girl at the door needs to say, "Come in," you know, I think it was something she expected, so I went in and I took the quotation down. And this is the quotation. It's not mine, but I love it, and I think it's here it is. "It's the coming back, the return, which gives meaning to the going forth. We don't always know where we have been until we get back to where we were. Only where we were may not be as it was because of who we have become, which is after all why we left." This is the last poem, and then I'm going to show you what I do for a living. Okay, this is a poem that I wrote in the creative writing class I was doing in the morning, and basically the task was, there was a poem and we had so there was a line of the poem and then we had to interpret the line through what we thought the line should say, and then that was the first stanza, then we had to write the second stanza of our own to go with it. So here we go. The skyline in yellow, crashing, clapping the grey mass like tears from the heaven, making their evening dim. I need to navigate the terrain dark and muddy, care for the mothers of green thrown to and fro, permeating my senses with eggs galore, spreading their love potion into the unknown. Pink stones warm in the sun, the lapping move of the ocean, creating and destroying, death and rebirth go hand in hand. The freshness, the taste, the openness of the universe, the acceptance of the moment. A monkey eats his yellow fruit. Trapped by man's ideals, when will we be free? Hold on, we're nearly there. This is what I do. This is one of the first ones that I wanted to learn when I first kind of started doing this. And I just thought tonight I'm just, you know, mixed a bit of art with what I do, so here we go.
I moved with the fall of the flow, the sands that shimmer new wet, from the ebbing tide. The form of a past that defines its future through the motions of its song. A crystal moment through which the echoing of beginnings exists through the silent motion of clouds that scatter their silver like confetti. That moves through each meeting of birth. I stood under the cloud and watched the light play games with it. Each wanting to define the other. Each cloud meeting its definition through the glimmer that surrounds it. I took your hand and danced through a thousand histories. I existed through the means of becoming again. Your face framed by a cloud like the Mona Lisa creation that moved through the flow of light. The light called me to you and formed of us both. As I held your hand and felt the warm glow on my face and yours. Eyes risen in search of something that scattered like the spring rain, that moved to each function of the of distance, the coming together. The rainbow formed of our dreams as they scatter through the light, as they move within and without of themselves. The fingers that caught the bird wing feather and imagined its flight, throwing it to the wind and letting the wind catch it. The wind that whispers through its stories to us, and our stories to it, that forms through the azure that calls us to its own memory, that moves within the footsteps of children on the beach where eternity casts its meaning, the salt tastes on our tongues, and the wind tossing of our hair by the wind. We sit in silence, holding each other through the call of life. Sparkles in your hair as we begin the day's dreaming, the fracture of sunlight upon the rocks, and the cracking of waves, the moment through which I looked into your eyes and became you, your face turned towards the sun in some primordial prayer that sought to rise on the crest of creation, the mood through each time through which we catch the world in our fingers and let it go. Feeling the beating heart of irrepressible life, watching as our dreams fly through the water and catch the sun that sparks off the waves and its pigments, that moves through the song of our love and our forgetting, the rising gannet and the flicker of fishes defining the moving of life, the spiral sense through which we dance to the song of the universe and become one another again. Okay, this is another one. I caught myself again, between the beating of my heart and the sense before me. I cascaded through myself, watching my thoughts define one another and flicker on the interchange. I motioned through my own silence, a symphony that broke its barriers and rushed forth through the form of its creation. Existing within the spark that flitted through its birth and its dying, that caught the last moment of its life in the black of the nighttime sky, that shattered and floated up. I moved through each particle of time, watching it form of itself first, and then something else, the becoming and changing, becoming this and then forming of a becoming of that. The forms caught in a dance through which they are and are not. They be and they refute their being. They sing through the death and birth of their being, the form of each definition scattered into a thousand definitions. Each of these singing their songs before the fabric of an existence that moves through the silent dusk of the possibility of its beginning again. The search for beginnings that are found in their ending. The glisten of the moon shaft splinter on the lake, and each movement forming to move again. It's the longest of pieces on the open mic, so I'll just do one more. Yeah? This one is called Song. I greeted the morning as it spread itself before me. I moved slowly through the edges of my dreams, motioning to some whisper that got caught in the air. We moved slowly through the distance and existed within each memory. the memory is flowing through some stage of awareness where we stood and gave songs. The elemental twist through ourselves, within and within, spiraling towards some heaven of sense that weaves itself around the trees in the forest and wraps our being within it. I stood on the beginnings of life and called out my song to the wild. I move through the spark-like moment that rises within its own birth, its memory falling through as a hymn to the distant sky above us, the sky that sparks within it with its own dreams, and sang a primordial song to the emptiness that becomes filled with its own dancing, particle interchange to some opera of life that moves through the flickering form of ever-changing definition. Definition that sprays like graffiti on what we once were. The silent gaze of some street night homeless beckoning us to become as we are. To move through us, giving birth. The silent eyes follow us, translating our story into theirs, and their story into ours. We meet through the middle of things, etching existence against the ancient rock of some far distant past that we hold in our imaginations and dance with. That becomes that far distant past that we hold in our imaginations and dance with. That becomes that through which we began, long ago, like some dream through which we burst forth into the salt spray of some imagination that crashes on the rock to the shore of being, that sparkles history in the form of its crying.
Glistening in the morning dew, the dogs of light gliding in the soft dusky eve. Now all that remains is a memory. Darkness crept into the heart, everything now vile and wretched. Stagnant pools of the soul filled with opaque blood, brooding on the adversities of life and the patience endured. Void this life, void of happiness, of love. My body decayed from these thoughts. The gaping mouth of corpse-ridden peace hangs loosely from words of disgust and hate of what I have become. I hasten unto death, I wish it to consume my body and soul in shadow, to be engulfed into nothingness, to be taken from this place of thought and being, to transcend and be forgotten, eternally grateful.
Actually, the camp at Wrestling at Tara. Jennifer Matthews.
So at 7:30 every Monday we discuss different poets. Just a bit of a discussion group. Next week is Marianne Moore. I have her poems here for anyone who plans on coming. You're welcome to take them. She's partner of Elizabeth Bishop, I think. If you want them, come and get them. I just sounded so Yankee right there. I might be leaving 11-ish, though, so you might want to grab them first. Okay, so... here's what I've been up to. And I just realized that both of these poems that I brought have the word carcass in it, and I don't use that word ever. I don't know what that says about me. Okay. scavenger hunt. Priceless is useless. Nowadays, the survival of the egoist. This is the age of scavenger. I holiday in former war zones on the cheap, but the best package deals occur after natural disasters. I fill the tank of progress with fermented dinosaur bones and fly there faster. My precious days are iced with the blood diamonds. I honeymoon at museums of stolen temples. Elgin thieves, and I pay my fees to take a photo of history. A Mona Lisa mouse pad helps me surf others' works of art, and rather than taking a moment for an act of creation, I feed on some old carcass broadcast by a local TV station. This one's called Archaeology, which is ironic because we were just talking about archaeology. Archaeology. A photo of half your head, red eyes, grainy, in a shoebox of a stranger's holiday snap. A toenail clipping left under your couch in a rented flat. Hair down the shower drain, semi-clogged in cleaning potions. Invisible oils from your fingertips on book leaves, which will crumble in autumn dumps eventually. Your own voice, thin and unfamiliar, on a family videotape, dusting. A Christmas card under a pile of old tax forms. Some flowers you bought, watered and arranged carcasses. Or an evergreen you cut off at the knee and decorated as life hoping.
Next up to the mic, we have Anita Zoli. Anita.
This is to a person that was very critical of my poetry, and he was so cryptic in his criticism that after about five criticisms I just went numb. So I decided to criticize him back. No easy fix comment. The wall is made of concrete with a non-stud look. Don't go there if it's too dark. Don't you make me do it either. Robust isn't the word for it. Not for the wall anyway. It isn't reinforced anywhere or decorated. It doesn't even have graffiti. Don't pick holes in my hope. How about cheap? Are you making a gratuitous judgment? I'm someone who looks weak. Looks, mind you, not is. Hope is second to love. It still comes second, so says the Bible. Down in the park, where love is free, the leaves are lovely bronze, bows, braces, warm, lit by the sun. Silver green pine, gestured passers by. Same hue as snow, on the pine's green branches. This is where I go, to get your condescension out of my head.
Next up to the mic, Patricia Welsh.
Hello there again. This is one poem I wrote last week, and and I also do voluntary work at the Cork Film Festival, so it was a little undercooked, like, you know why. This is called Payment in Arrears. You took your time to come back. The hunger of death slides into your system. Being glorious hostage, my debt, to the local circle unbroken. Place your money on the table, and your excuses at the door. For you brought your honor price to me, the to satisfy my money lust, and adorn me with treasure. Beautiful master.
We're flying through at a very quick pace tonight, so I'm going to give you one that I wrote today. This one actually came out of a workshop. We were doing, we were taking fairy tales and subverting the tradition and the cliches that come with fairy tales. So we just chose, we had an example, we just chose one of our own. And I chose the one of Diarmaid and Gráinne. I don't know, a lot of Irish people would know that the fairy tale of Diarmaid and Gráinne. In the time of Fionn Mac Cumhail, in the time of Cormac Mac Art, probably the most famous of the High Kings of Ireland. Fionn Mac Cumhail was the head of the Fionn, and Fionn was probably the most famous warrior next to Cú Chulainn that Ireland ever had. And he had married a fairy person, one of the Sidhe, who was actually a deer, and gave birth to Oisín. That's where Oisín come from. He was half fairy and half human. But after Sidhe had given birth to Oisín, the fairy people placed a curse on her and stole her away from Fionn. So he spent many years without a wife, and 20 years down the line, after he'd fought all his battles, he felt kind of lonely, you know. He was like, well, you know, I should take another wife now, you know. And unfortunately, the woman he wanted to go for was his chief kind of right-hand warrior's, but, you know, fiancé, you know. So when they found out about this, they ran away, they eloped, and he spent about 20 years running after them with the Fionn. The Fionn are basically wasting all their efforts trying to hunt down this woman that he was completely mad over. So this is called, instead of Diarmaid and Gráinne, it's called The Unsung Ballad of Diarmaid and the Groin of Fionn Mac Cumhail. Blondie had had his day. Fionn means blonde in Irish, but Blondie had had his day. Lucky bastard. Had married a she doe and gave birth to a god. All the king's hounds and all the king's men were his to command. And next to the high poet, he was the man of the land. My name is Blondie Mac Cumhail, and a lucky bastard I've been. Betrothed in a fairy pool, I am the proud dad of Oisín. What gifts? He had the wisest salmon, prophesied for his own greatness, could leap 100 feet, and led the swiftest of men. I lead Cormac's hounds and his men, am a fully-fledged olive and all. I'm the man, I'm the best, I'm a 10, I'm the wisest, and I'll never fall. And what did Blondie do? Well, when the doe went back to fairyland and Blondie grew slowly older, he just couldn't help himself, could he? His best warrior's girlfriend, the bounty of every feast. Even now that I've lost my fair doe, I will not be swallowed with woe. So why shouldn't Gráinne be mine, and Diarmaid another dime? Where was Blondie's wisdom now then? No, he just had to have her. Squandered 20 years chasing after the elopers while Cormac's kingdom crumbled and the great Fianna was splintered and smashed to smithereens. Well, wisdom of Sagus, well, what did you do to Blondie? Tell, or I'll never touch salmon again. Thank you for the microphone. Can we have Mr. Seamus Arrington?
Have you followed that?
Difficult.
Huh? Humor. Humor. Group one, the common team transport. Bluebird. For over 3 years, his own record stood since Dumbleyum. Now he's on Coniston water once more, a weather window at last. The very first leg, level and flat, sheer thrust, jetting red hot up on her planing pines. 2:50 plus 47, over. So awfully close, just 3 to go. Sea anchors bite, around again, no turning back, no extra fuel. The bravest of the brave. That raucous roar, they gasp and point at the trampling, trampling spray. None can glimpse the adrenaline rush, on land or in water, the quickest of all. 320, a blur. She's lit, skipper, come in. Over. He surely knew it was his own wake. Into the water barrier and beyond. His memorial stands on Pussycat Hill over Lake Dumbleton. The electric bicycle. Fun and fitness you can find to help escape the daily grind. With DC bolts and motor strong, pedal power, you glide along. You can combine both power sources when you travel steeper courses. Fresh air and freedom needs no sage to see the pleasure escape road rage. Suspension strong and telescopic, this takes me now another topic. Strange driver's wistful glance, secret wishes, if by chance a neighbor saw him on wheels so few, oh the shame, I say to you, all peacock's egos easily dent, salesman think, heavenly sent. Narrow lanes, city streets, you can pass, you can meet, traffic fast or traffic slow, twisting throttle, away you go. Mobile dog wash. It's just across the road of deadly spinning wheels, where every puppy shows the cleanest pair of heels. In praise of the catamaran. Over the frothing surf, downwind racing, goose winging now with others chasing. Basking out on sunny decks so nice, from your fellow sailors you need a lull. Pick your spot, your spice for choice, or you simply retire to the other hull. For fun and speed with zero wake, the cat rib now a crowd will take. The skies above, stars are lancing, in sheltered anchorage, still the lop, while all around, crafts are dancing, splashing on board, not a single drop. For close manoeuvres in heavy weather, ahead in one engine, astern the other. On monohulls, some folks are queasy, while you prepare a tempting table. You then sit back and take life easy on this fine craft, which is so stable. For a gigantic lift on an even keel, fork-shaped cats will the contract seal. To take a rest near low water, you're able. You may run ashore on a sandy beach, because you have studied your tight table to check those props within your reach. A single outboard may suit the best, between both hulls, seas compressed. If danger strikes in a sudden squall, out of upwind pointing, now you tire, then dump the main, so she won't fall, and turn the keys to both engines fire. At aquatic rallies down in Aussie land, to suit most needs, cats just grand. Of blinding speed, you're now a fan. For sheer performance in the fastnet race, well, check out the racing trimaran. These multi-hulls can show their pace. Fishing platform, how so spacious. That trawler cat, more spacious. From film deck or trampoline, so tight, observe the speeding phosphorescent light. As you leave behind so smooth and bright, a shimmering wake in the dead of night. And finish with a prayer. Mortals, help me, St. Christopher, you're still there? To steer clear of flats, potholes, toll booths, pushy bikers, speed traps and flow coaches. To await my turn coolly, fumeless, from road rage at snarl-ups and traffic calming measures. To drive as if I was to meet myself coming from the opposite direction. To find a fitting parking space in unmetered zone, disc and clamp free men. Regatta. Help us, Lord, to go straight to where we're not looking. Steer us not into temptation of looking where we're rowing. Amen. Bikers. Long distance roadies, refugees from boredom, straddling rod saddles, heavy duty four strokes. Devoted hell's angels, we have a herd on High Street. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us to evil, Knievel, stunt bike, lookalike. Amen.
Thanks, Seamus. And next up to the mic, we have Sinead Ryan. Sinead.
Okay, you all in German now, yeah?
Yeah.
Heaven waits. Never fast the rugged plain, old acne dimples the valley, wrinkles mask the days and journeys that made a life, curl softly around smiled lips and cried eyes, ancient gaze drifts into the end, knowing the next journey will be the panacea needed to be the pain of the last. This one is called If Only. Today, I wish my life had never been. As a mangled metal wreck that was my car towered in jagged stands over a bloody, broken body. Standing unmarked on the side of the road, I watched a mother lose a child. And cold black stone dug deep in my heart. Because I knew a child would be alive today, if only I had never been. This one I just wrote there a while ago. just by way of explanation, it's a mini challenge, right? And the idea was to write with a line in it. The leg of the stool broke. That's me in it. Right. So, of course, I called it the stool. Right. Only the naughty children sat on that stool. Over there, in the corner. Dark. Haunted by previous miscreants. A victim of teacherly discrimination, the stool was left isolated because of skimpy legs. That day, that boy, he told the teacher to eat off. The teacher raised the stool high and crashed it over that boy. The leg of the stool broke. The rest was free of the stool. The day the teacher killed that boy, the stool.
I'm turning them. Okay, it's an honor to be here, as always.
Too far, great. Okay. Too far.
The first, I'm going to read from Rumi, the 13th century Persian poet and mystic, and then I'm going to read some of my own poems. So this is called On the Tavern. Rumi. In the tavern are many wines, the wine of delight in color and form and taste, the wine of the intellect's agility, the fine port of stories and the cavernous of soul singing. Being human means entering this place where entrancing varieties of desire are served. The great skin of ego breaks and a pouring begins. Fermentation is one of the oldest symbols for human transformation. When grapes combine their juice and are closed up together for a time in a dark place, the results are spectacular. This is what lets two drunks meet so that they don't know who is who. Pronouns no longer apply in the tavern's mud world of excited confusion and half-articulated wanting. But after some time in the tavern, a point comes, a memory of elsewhere, a longing for the source, and the drunks must set off from the tavern and begin their return. The Quran says, we are all returning. The tavern is a kind of glorious hell that human beings enjoy and suffer, and then push off from in their search for truth. The tavern is a dangerous region where sometimes disguises are necessary. But never hide your heart, Rumi says. Keep open there. A breaking apart, a crying out into the street begins in the tavern, and the human soul turns to find its way home. Exacerbate our commuter hell. The M50 roundabout's no place for an abode. We need to hide you. It's not that we despise you. It's just your humanity affronts us too much as we travel to work. You live free and easy. This makes us uneasy. If you don't work 9 to 5, get out of our life. Our roundabout is for grass and bunnies and such. Get out of our nation. Get out of our hearts. Thank you. Okay, this is the last one. Yeah, it's called Stone Age Lover. Like a stone age lover, reminding me gentleness and peace are not new. The rain comes to me like a stone age lover, touching me deeper than language or even music. Washing away my pretensions like beautiful yellow rotting leaves. The rain comes to me like a Stone Age lover, a universal lover creeping in while the sun is like the mother of cures. The rain dances in my soul and reminds me that even our language is transient. Between us, in cowardliness and courage we roam and sing. Before we stopped being ape, we loved the rain, and pain went unnamed in the time before language. But the rain, the gentle pitter-patter was the same. Thank you.
to the microphone, can we have Mr. Jack Florence?
Thank you, Paul. A few years ago, a couple of years ago, I was reading in my Saturday Guardian, I wrote in magazine, which was being published in the environs of known as a place in Hockley, near London, where people like Pete Doherty come from, and all those kind of people that Paul would probably know on first hand terms. So I was reading about this, and struggling writer that I am, and behind my wife's back, I went and inquired about this magazine called Full Moon Empty Sports Bag. So I sent them a poem, and much to my great surprise, they published it. And when I got the £250, I showed it to my wife, and my wife said, after counting out the money, my wife said, what's the name of the magazine? I said, it's called Full Moon Empty Sports Bag. Jesus, what kind of a name is that, don't you think? So if you think of that £250, you'd believe anything. But they did publish me, and I was on air for about a week, because I'm not very often published, but this is a complete shot in the dark, and for some reason they liked what I wrote. And there was a bit of a surprise in store for me, because when I opened up the magazine and saw my poem in it, there right next to it was a poem by Pete Doherty. So there may have been a sort of a mirror-ball reflection, but I was dead proud, I can tell you that. Now, I didn't realise how fine the print is in this, so I might need the help of the most majestically tall person in the room, our moderator Paul, and if he can pull that famous laser beam over my head.
The full moon.
Full moon. It's awfully small. In fact, it's almost too small. Has anyone got a pair of glasses?
Yeah.
If I can't do it, I might have to let it go for another week. Jesus, they're mine. Brilliant. Thank you.
No, they're my wife. That's the moment.
The money I got for the poem is all my wife. This is about how a friend of mine was telling me about how poets, writers, and God lovers, artists, in all, how they all managed to steal from each other. And I thought a lot about what he was telling me, and he gave me this idea to write this. It's called From Me to You. It's the one thing we're good at. We steal. We steal affection, money, estate, influence, inspiration. And we steal love. Hitler stole from Eva Braun. He'd already stolen from the Jews. Then the Jews stole from each other. Ginsberg stole from Walt Whitman, who had earlier stolen from Blake. Ginsberg stole from Naomi, stole her blue asylum vest, stole her Russian red beautiful face, stole a line from Gregory Corso, and stole a blowjob from Kerouac behind the Museum of Modern Art. Dylan stole from Woody Guthrie, this machine killer, who had already stolen from Steinbeck. Shylock stole from Shakespeare. Aristotle from Plato, already, who had stolen from Socrates. So there you have it. We steal, we usurp, we break hearts, we betray, we hurt one another, My heart good, who will steal from me? So then I, for the next episode of Full Moon Empty Sports Bag, they published me again. Again, I didn't get too much of it again. This is about somebody very close to me and my family who died. Old death, my shadow, long heart disease, red piss. Probably hiding a milk bottle of red blood, urine from his mother in the morning toast. Have you job done today? She asked. No, ma'am. Knowing full well he had. Contracts to fill, many of them, who would spend the day pissing blood in the toilet of Tom Barry's pub in Barry Street. Red as nature's ink. Thank you. This is going to be a complete cultural change over here. The Life and Times of Nodger. Now listen to me, Nodger, said Mrs. Stull. It seems to me that you're becoming a toll. You're out all night and in bed all day, and under the mattress I found 200 downloads of David Gray. Poor Nodger groaned and snored his hangover. He ran to the jacks in his underpants in search of his pullover. His brain was spasmed from chemical abuse, and a Rottweiler Jacinta had busted loose. Jacinta, this crap all over me floor! Jesus, that shagging dog got in because you opened the door. Mrs. Stull spat fury with her neck standing out and her gob resembled a donkey's mouth. Out all night and in bed all day and under the mattress 200 downloads of David Gray. Nodger got the bus into town. His snot at home still clung to the eiderdown. His contact was waiting with a shit-ass face under the new canopy at Parliament Place. Did you get this stuff right? Will you let me know? I have 50 mobiles to ship and I'm desperate for door. You have 50 mobiles? Said Nadia with a nod of his head. Jesus, I have 200 David Grays under me bed. And if I don't get shot of them, I'll be killed stone dead. Nadia, who the fuck wants David Gray? Haven't done anything by his friends or Sylvia Sainz. I'm in court at 11 and I have to dash. A small barrel was carrying me on supply of hash. I'd go through for the drop of the sand, and if I don't turn up, I'd be back in rehab. Nodger got on the roof and fell off the shed. He went down like a sack and landed on his head. His journey was fast, his ass turned right, because inside his pullover was 2 pounds of lead. He went to the nursery where they put in a stitch and a one-year was yapping like a four-tongued old bitch. The judge said to Nodger, I'll give you one more chance. You've had a disadvantaged upbringing and I suppose the bus service was bad. So God love you, you were probably abused. We forget all the charges since you're young and confused. And the vintage car you smashed up took for only a Dodge. So you're off now to Billy Goody to Tabor Lodge. Now Nodger, said the judge, with a beam like a bell, would you like to do a computer course with Adele? Is she the same one, asked Nodger, with a face like a geese? I'd sooner do 6 months in a cell in Port Leash. Answer here, what would I be doing with her anyway?
I'm going to do this from memory because I didn't bring anything with me because I came in kind of rush. As I was saying, I didn't bring any with me tonight, so I'm going to do something from memory. It's a slam piece that Paul would have heard before in Belfast, and it's called I Believe in God? It's a bit rhymy, so I'm just trying to say with me. Tipping my hat, I genuflect with distant fake respect, and I expect the next gesture to help my mind to deflect. The missiles firing from surface to air, they seek the heat. To meet with my demise, I despise this rhythm beat. Deplete the shores where we fish with a broken rod, mindlessly tuned into the frequency of the Apple, the iPod, both being the genesis of the end of individuality, forsaking what shouldn't be taken to avoid our personalities. Actually, we fasten stature to a sinking submarine, awaiting on the moment the friendly dolphins intervene. Prophets have foreseen the inevitable pot, calling the kettle black is the color of the bruise left from the metal nettle. In fact, burning wood provides sustenance to another being, whether or not after the fact we choose to stop seeing. All that befalls the tall towers of pride we stand upon turns all that we call important into a bleak horizon. The sun sets silently, drawing sentences to a stop. Do we fool the bagman at the scene of the late night drop, or pop some form of ecstasy for heaven's peace of the pipe, divided and conquered by a little innocent white lie? One side of the coin reflects the other side, but which reflection to whisper is for you to decide. Opposite the tract and what goes up, it must come down. The other realm to a conscious smile is a frown. Ignite time to accompany daylight, saving grace, amazingly confusing like a map for the wrong place. Picking up a pencil to trace along desires and dreams, while putting up with the nightly squeamish, haunting, awful screams. The road less traveled starts to fade from the globe, with the load of stress unraveled and just locked in the strobe. Light another cigarette and grab a bottle of contemplation, drain the contents and summon the spirits of intimidation. I'll start to call to expose your spickle stupidity, and I'll be the one holding the sickle at the scene of your nativity. Nothing to follow but the light of hell's fire opening up, and never again accepted to drink from creativity's cup. Finish with your grimace that had just as much as I can take. Diminish your being, or you've had your last birthday cake. The years, they may forget what has been done to save, documenting only what haze came on the second wave. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you. And next up, Mr. Sean Tracy.
Contemporary MC and such, but it's a little more my own area around, more all world and so on. I'm not just up to that time, but I'll give it all in. Lament, old world, for thy time is almost spent. The resplendence of your youth is gone, and in its place a jaded hue of longing. For now wakes slumbering chaos on his throne, and happily he, with sudden swell, the roar the inevitable curfew bell. Night, black suited for the task, rolls forth to tell of war and fortune's frown, while without, the loud winds of time rage. The wintry cloud o'er the cold north star casts her fitting shroud, and silence pausing in some snow-cold dale starts as she hears by fit the shrieking gale. Lament, old world, for thy slumber is yet too short-lived, yet we as men survey with delight the wild music of laughing spring.
Thank you. And next up we have Elaine Moynihan. Elaine?
First poem I wanted to write is kind of appropriate to Claudia. I read it when I was travelling and I was thinking of coming back to Ireland, and all I could think about was like a low sky and clouds and stuff. And then I was like, that's not so bad, I suppose, you know, brings creativity and coziness. So clouds of happiness. The moon shines bright now, the stars twinkle with thoughts. The whistling wind and the night air bring peace and no longer fear. The rising sun awakens with a smile on it. Its rays filled with so much warmth. The trees show their wisdom. The rocks show their strength. Each thing now has a story to tell, seeing what life is meant. The grass is so much softer now. and no longer can just be for walking. The earth now has feeling too, now feeling grounded without a shoe. The water flows as always, but now with more appreciation than before. Not as it just water now, but it has become something so much more. The low sky is filled with clouds, now bring inner thought of happiness to the soul. The wave crashes, now filling the heart with compassion and feelings of life. The sound of silence is no longer frightening, now listening to hear the little birds sing. The ants, spiders, insects, and every little thing I see is now just as equal as me. The earth energy flows positive thoughts every day. It feels good to be alive is what my mind now has to say. Luna magic, and it's exactly what it is, the magic it means. My eyes see it at first glance, then my whole heart, my whole body is drawn into its trance. I'm there, it's here. It feels like so much of its energy is flowing through me. It's inside, and with my mind and emotions, it's life. It takes me to places I've been before, and gives me visions of many more. I send love to everyone I know, and to those I long love from, I let it flow. Now its magic is all around, I feel I'm floating and no longer on ground. Over and beyond, I can be, and within its magic, I can see.
And last but not least, for the evening, before we go on to the third part, the challenge part of the evening, Mr. Edward O'Dwyer.
I've ever read this poem. Not because it's new. Anyway, it's called Centre Court, Wimbledon. Anyone play tennis? Nobody? Okay, you don't need to have played tennis anyway. Centre Court, Wimbledon. How unassumingly the kitchen table becomes centre court at Wimbledon. Appliances, ornaments, and the dirty dishes by the sink, all watching on avidly, before I realize the trail of less than forced errors behind me. And now, at match point, you serve the question with power, absolute precision. But why? How can you really know? Gracelessly scrambling, as always, caught off guard that you can push me so far out wide and at such a velocity. Clumsily, I batter return back at you, and with that awful clang of a frame contact. I don't know. I suppose I just do. Ever the seasoned pro, ruthlessly competitive, you make your way into the net, maneuvering your body to take it early, meet it on the hop, and put the point emphatically out of my reach with your next words. Me still stranded in no man's land, and all the court gaping for your exploit. But as my words, no conviction or panache in their flight, pathetically catch the tape and trickle pitifully down inside my heart. The tea kettle shriek calls it game, set and match. And though I am certainly the loser, you are not quite the winner. The reason why I have never read that before because I don't like it at all, to be honest. But I didn't want to say that at first because I didn't want to, ruin it before you heard it. Anyway, this is an old poem. I've been one of the, I haven't been writing for very long, but this would be one of the first. It's called Home. hollow throughout. Now just a ghost of your former self. Eyes blackened up, long time that it is since the sun has looked happily in. Mouth that once opened up kindly for children, more closed now than ever. Maybe saddest of all, after the stroke that did it in the end, no eulogy of any kind, no mention even in the obituary pages, no remembrance at all of the heart that once pumped like a jackhammer inside that concrete chest.
This is a poem I wrote during the week, actually. I wrote it in a couple of minutes, like, but people seem to like it anyway. It's called The Irish Climate and Importance of Tea. I didn't read it because, you know, the weather's pretty nasty today. There are two reasons why tea became popular as it is here in Ireland, our green country. One, the weather is shit, and it warms us up as it filters from our lips down through our bodies. And two, across the table in the cold morning light, through the steam spouting from the pot, wives' husbands look a little more like Brad Pitt, husbands' wives look a little more like Jennifer Aniston, and everyone looks a little less like the weather. Okay, when I started writing, a lot of my friends and family, everyone was saying, oh, write a poem about me.
Yeah.
So that was about 300 people who wanted an individual poem about them. It's not really possible to do that, but I thought if I could write one poem for all of them that could be about any one of them, then, you know, achievable goals and all that. So this, and every one of you can imagine that this poem is about them right now as I read it. So to all of you in the room, this is about you. It's called Poem About You. Poem about you. Write a poem about me, you said, as if it's a rudimentary thing. But I don't think you were serious at all. Only half serious at most. If only you knew, I thought. I'm always trying to write a poem about you. Always trying, always failing. But I get closer, a little closer each time, such as this time. I've dissolved sugar in the ink with which I write. Sugar, because it's a poem about you, and the sounds, the meanings of words are not quite sweet enough themselves.
Well, thank you.